Good day, and welcome to today's conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions during a question-and-answer session. Please note today's call may be recorded. I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Jorge Solo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome, everybody. We're here to talk about this new poll, and it's my pleasure to introduce Latino Victory President Cristobal Alex.
Good morning, folks. Thank you for joining us as we discuss this very important new poll from Latino Decisions, Latino Victory, and America's Voice about our community's perception of Donald Trump 8 months into his presidency, defined by anti-Latino rhetoric and policies. I'm Cristobal Alex, president of the Latino Victory Project. I'm joined today by Matt Barreto, the co-founder of Latino Decisions, and DNC Chairman Tom Perez. Our community has been working very closely with the DNC under Chairman Perez's leadership. This is especially so because our community has been in the crosshairs of this administration, and especially so because we're honored to work with Tom as the very first Latino to be the chairman of a major political party. Today's poll will discuss how Latinos view President Trump post-Charlottesville and post-Arpaio pardon, the political ramification of Trump's anti-Latino agenda, and our community's policy priorities in this new landscape. Before we dive in, I want to say that we knew going into this poll that Latinos across the country would be dissatisfied with President Trump. After all, Donald Trump kicked off his campaign by calling us rapists and criminals. But Trump has managed to fall short even of our lowered expectations, and he's taking the Republican Party down with him. These last 8 months have been difficult, from his executive order establishing a mass deportation scheme to his pardon of America's most notorious and famous racial profiler, Joe Arpaio. President Trump hasn't missed a chance to demonstrate his disdain for the Latino community, and we've taken notice. So far, in 2017, all five of our Latino Victory Fund-endorsed candidates have won in this Trump era. And as we gear up for 2018, we hope to shed some light on the degree of Latinos' dissatisfaction with the president and how we can channel Latinos' energy for progressive change. An overwhelming majority of Latinos disapprove of President Trump's performance, with most saying that he's doing worse than they expected. Most of our people think our country is headed in the wrong direction, and they're ready to hold Republicans accountable for it. In addition to the longstanding priority of immigration, racism and race relations loom large in the minds of Latino voters. For more on today's findings, I'll turn it over to Matt Barreto of Latino Decisions.
Hello, good morning. Thank you, Cristobal, for your leadership on these issues and for collaborating with us on this project. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about the poll, how it was implemented, and what our key findings were so that I can quickly turn it over to Chairman Tom Perez to hear his comments and reactions. We interviewed nationally 755 Latino adults. We'll have the full results available for you on the LatinoDecisions.com website as well as Latino Victory website. It's a national survey of all Latino adults. This is not one of our surveys restricted to only voters because we wanted to give everybody in the community a chance to respond and voice their opinion on the direction of America. Of course, we do have breakouts throughout the survey by those who are registered voters, those who are naturalized immigrants, those who are second or third generation, English, Spanish, and all of our traditional breakouts. And one of the takeaways is that across the board, across any of the demographic groups, we see very consistent opposition to the Trump presidency. As a starting point, we found that 76% of Latinos currently disapprove of the job Trump is doing as president. This is a full 20 points higher than in the dissatisfaction with the general public in America at large, which already has majority opposition. But for Latinos, it's 76%. Further, 59% think that he is doing a worse job than expected. As Cristobal mentioned, many Latinos came into this with low expectations given his hostile rhetoric during the campaign, but after seeing 8 months in office, fully 59% believe that Trump is doing worse than they had anticipated. One of the things that we found that was driving this opposition was Latinos are being frustrated by Trump's racial politics. Most obvious is that 82% oppose the Arpaio pardon. This was something that was very hotly contested, that many in the Latino community spoke out against repeatedly, yet the president did not listen to the concerns within the Latino community. Not only was it 82% of Latinos nationally, but we saw very strong opposition in our immigrant communities, where it was 88%. But among the U.S.-born as well, 73% opposed the Arpaio pardon. When we broke it down along partisan lines, even a very high percentage of Latino Republicans, 47%, said they disagreed with this decision. And so we're seeing some of the first evidence here, and I'll speak about it a bit later, that even within the Republican community of Latinos, which has been dwindling, you're starting to see divisions, and there is not unified support there for the president. Secondly, when it comes to Trump's comments on Charlottesville, 64% of Latinos think the comments on Charlottesville were not strong enough. Again, this is considerably higher than the general public, where the exact same worded question received 52% saying that his comments were not strong enough. Again, Latinos are more upset not only about the Arpaio pardon, but also seeing that crossover into other racial tensions and racial relations in America. Even among Latino Republicans, 42% say that the Charlottesville response was not strong enough. Finally, what we're seeing is that race-related issues continue to dominate some of the discussions that Latinos are having about national priorities. In an open-ended question asking what the most important issues facing America are that Congress and the President and America needs to deal with, the number one issue was that related to immigration reform and immigration issues. Of course, with DACA and the DREAM Act being in the news, and the discussions over a border wall, immigration does continue to dominate as an issue important to many in the Latino community. But the number two issue that was mentioned was race relations and racism. 25%, nearly one out of four of Latinos in America, said this was the single most important issue facing America that they want to see addressed. That was followed closely by other issues such as improving the economy and making health care more accessible. But this is the first time we've seen such a high mark there for racism and race relations, and certainly Latinos are taking note of what's happening. Finally, we transitioned and looked at how Republicans are faring. First off, we found that 70%, when asked about party outreach and the party relations with the Latino community, 70% think that Republicans are either hostile towards Latinos or don't care about Latinos. With 7 out of 10 feeling this way, this is a high water mark for the Republican Party, and they have a considerable amount of work to do. We asked whether or not people would continue supporting the Republican Party if they changed their policies or if they had permanently written them off. 41% say that the Republican Party has become, quote, so anti-Latino they could never consider voting for them again. 41%. This is a very damaging number for Republicans. In particular, only 63% of Latino Republicans say that they generally agree and will consistently vote Republican. 63%. So even within there, we're seeing, again, additional evidence of fracturing that many Republican Latinos are feeling that the party has lost their way. Finally, we also note that the Democrats have some work to do. Only 38% of Latinos think the Democrats are currently doing a good job in reaching out to Latinos. Now, while only 8% view the Democratic Party as hostile, a quite low number, many Latinos are somewhere in the middle wanting to see additional outreach. So we think overall Latinos are paying attention to what's happening in politics in America today. They've been watching very closely what's happening with the Trump administration. There is extremely strong condemnation of what's happening with race relations, the Arpaio pardon, the comments on Charlottesville, and more. Latinos are fully engaged in this issue over the quote-unquote culture war in America that Trump has initiated against many in our community, and they're not supportive, and they want to see some change. I think the poll findings are very interesting, very exciting. We'll be posting those online at our website as well as at Latino Victory. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions today on the call, or you can always follow up with us via email or social media. Thank you, Cristobal. I'll turn it back over.
Thank you. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce the chairman of the DNC, Tom Fettes.
Thank you, Cristobal. Thank you, Matt. And thank you for everyone who's joined us today. It's an honor to be here with you. The Democratic Party exists to build an America in which people feel that someone has their back. That's what we've always been working toward, to make sure that when we pass comprehensive immigration reform, we have your back. When we pass the Affordable Care Act, that when you need a doctor, someone will be there to have your back. That's what we've been fighting for. What we see today is more evidence that the Republican Party is dramatically out of touch with Latinos. Republicans in Congress are ignoring the will of the American people and the basic needs of Latino communities. Let's really look at these two numbers. As was pointed out, 70% of Latinos think that Republicans are either hostile to Latinos or don't care about Latinos. 41% of Latinos say the Republican Party has been so anti-Latino that they could never consider voting for them again. That's a remarkable rejection of the Republican Party. And it's because Republicans continue to try to take health care away from working families. It's because they continue to wage a war on voting rights. They continue to wreak havoc in immigrant communities. They continue to chip away at labor rights and weaken our economic safety net to give millions of dollars in tax cuts to the wealthy. Donald Trump has secured his legacy as a champion for cruelty. From pardoning Joe Arpaio to rescinding DACA, Trump continues to follow the Republican playbook to promote division and to make sure that the American dream is out of reach for all too many people. Democrats believe that diversity and compassion are some of our nation's greatest strengths. We believe in fixing our immigration system, not uprooting lives and shattering families. And as Donald Trump and his Republican colleagues try to trample on the American dream, we in the Democratic Party are going to continue to fight for the immigrant families who contribute to our country every day. We know we have more work to do, and that is why the Democratic Party is all about making sure that we're organizing every day, everywhere. That's why we have a Every Zip Code Counts strategy, so that we can reach out and touch communities and make sure that they know that we are indeed fighting for an America in which they feel that somebody has their back. That's what we're doing in the Democratic Party, because you know what? In the end of the day, we are a nation of immigrants. Our immigrant tradition is what has always made America great and will always indeed make America great. And Democrats will continue during this Hispanic Heritage Month to celebrate our Hispanic heritage by protecting and expanding opportunity for Latinos in every corner of the country. That's what the American dream is about, and that's what the Democratic Party is about, expanding opportunity. And so I want to say again to Matt and Cristobal, thank you for this work. It's very important, and it's a real wake-up call to make sure we continue our work moving forward to build an America that works for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you,
I'll turn it back to all of you.
Thank you, Chairman, for all of your work, and let's go to the operator.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star and one on your touchtone telephone. If at any point you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, that is the star and one to ask a question. And we'll go first to the line of Maria Pena with La Opinion.
Yes, thank you for doing this call. I'm wondering if any one of you can address, or Mr. Tom Paris, the DNC chair. You know, last year, advocacy groups made the argument that Trump's candidacy was going to galvanize Latinos and they were going to come out and vote. And in the end, you know, Trump got elected. Some 20 to 30% of Latinos voted for him, depending on who you believe. And so his rhetoric obviously didn't galvanize Latinos enough. And, you know, next year, Latinos traditionally have a lower turnout during midterm elections. So where do you find the optimism that this time around Latinos are going to come out and vote for progressive candidates and change the course of the country?
I'm happy. This is Tom. I'm happy to take that question. When 75% to 80% of a voting bloc vote for the Democratic candidate, that's an overwhelming show of support. Having said that, I know we need to do more to make sure we're working and organizing in Latino communities so that Latinos understand the importance of voting and Latinos understand what the Democratic Party stands for. That's why right now in Virginia, for instance, we have an important gubernatorial election and we have elections up and down the ballot from lieutenant governor to attorney general to the House of Delegates. And we've made significant investments working with partners in the community to ensure that we are identifying voters, telling them what we stand for, making sure they understand that healthcare, if you believe that healthcare should be a right for all, you should be voting for Ralph Northam. If you believe that we should be working to pass immigration reform, you should be voting for Ralph Northam. And that is exactly what we're doing as a Democratic Party. We have to organize everywhere, and what we have and what we are doing in our rebuild of the Democratic Party and our modernization of the Democratic Party is making sure that we are a 12-month-a-year presence in communities, leading with our values, telling people what we stand for. And when we do that, we succeed. And that's exactly what we're doing now. I've been in many, many communities of Latinos in which I have said passionately, nuestro voto es nuestra voz. Our vote is our voice. And nuestros números son nuestro poder. Our numbers are our power. And Donald Trump is hoping that the Latino community runs scared, that they hide, that they don't participate, that they don't vote. That's why they support the voter suppression efforts in places like Texas and elsewhere. That's why we're fighting to make sure that everyone has the ability and the right to vote, every eligible person. And that's why we're going to continue to work. We've got more work to do to earn the support of people, and we want to make sure that people understand that democracy cannot be a spectator sport, that we need people who are eligible to vote to get out there and vote. And that's exactly why I ran for this office, was to make sure we're organizing across America, and that's exactly what we're doing today, whether it's New Jersey and Virginia today, whether it's the state special election down in Florida that'll take place shortly, all across America. That's what we have to do as Democrats.
Thank you.
I'll just add to that a couple of things. First, thank you, Chairman, for all the work you're doing around the country, in Virginia, in New Jersey, in Miami, tomorrow's special election. And we're starting to see the results of that. I do want to push back a little bit on the question about the percentage of Latinos that voted for Trump. We think the most in-depth and reliable poll, again, with Latino Decisions and Election Eagle, showed 86% of Latinas voted for Hillary Clinton. That's an astounding number. Again, 86%. And then the other very interesting news coming out of the election was that 25% of Latino voters were first-time voters, compared to 16% of African-American and 15% of white. So that's really the future of the electorate. And there was a wave of enthusiasm in 16. Obviously, the top of the ticket didn't go the way nearly all Latinos wanted it to go. But as a result of that wave of enthusiasm, we elected the first Latina U.S. senator. We elected the first Latina Speaker of the House in Colorado. We elected the first two formerly undocumented persons to Congress, the first Puerto Rican from Florida to Congress. The list goes on and on and on. That's the silver lining from the election. Unfortunately, they didn't get a lot of the headlines. And this enthusiasm that we're hearing about in this poll that you just discussed, there's something else there. There is this anger and fear that's beginning to turn into meaningful action. That's, again, the reason why in 2017, our candidates are 5 for 5. That's the reason why we were successful in the very first congressional special election in this era. And it could prove to be, as great of an organizer as the DNC chairman Tom Pettis is, it may be that Donald Trump proves to be the greatest Latino organizer of all time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll next go to Suzanne Gamboa from NBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for this call. I just have two quick questions. On one of your, I watched the one about voting. I think it's question number 8, where you says it says I generally agree with the party, the Republican Party on most issues, and I'm likely to vote for them in future elections and then versions of that after that. When you add up the two that were that folks who are likely to vote Republican or will vote Republican if immigration reform is with the path to citizenship is addressed, you still have about 38% versus 41% for those that would never vote for a Republican in the future. So that's a pretty healthy number for voting in terms of voting. And if we go with the exit polling numbers of the presidential election, that's certainly a number that seems to be needed to get into the White House. Or above it. So I just wonder if there's really, after if the immigration issue is taken care of, and I know that's a big if, but is there really, given all the other findings that people are angry about, Charlottesville, et cetera, is there really that much can we measure that where Latinos are that significantly in terms of voting as leaning towards, in terms of the Democratic Party? And then on your other question that split in terms of when you rank issues, I guess it's on 4B. But I'm just confused by that you can select one or two. So I don't know if all of these answers that you have are the number one that everybody selected. So if immigration reform comes in at 41% or where it is on the others, is that number one? Was that chosen as number one by your respondents? Thanks.
I'll say first, Cristobal, if you don't mind, just to clarify some of the polling questions there, and then if you guys want to jump in. I'll take the first one, the second one first, Suzanne, in terms of the most important issues. We follow the same model here as Gallup and almost everyone else. We know that very few people will be able to give us only one answer. Many people say they have two things that they care about. So this is the combination of both of those. Items, so they can add up to over 100%. We find that about 50% or half the respondents do select two items, and so they have those. We can certainly disaggregate them by first choice, second choice. The ratios are almost exactly identical in terms of when it's first choice, second choice. But we know that many people are thinking about more than one thing at a time when they're thinking about politics, and so that's why we allow them to give up to two answers. And some people certainly may want to give even more, but we try to keep that common. And again, there's numerous poll agencies that always allow for two questions, two items, and we can disaggregate those if you like. I'll say very quickly on your first question about the Republicans, just keep in mind that extra 26% who's, quote, on the fence, that said, if Republicans help pass immigration reform with a path to citizenship. And we have long found in our polling, and it's not inconsistent with the higher comparative marks that George W. Bush got, that Latinos would be willing to listen to Republicans if they took a leadership role on immigration reform with a path to citizenship. Obviously, in the current climate, they have not been doing that, and so I would focus more on the 12%, only 12% nationally, who say that they generally agree with the Republicans and are likely to vote for them in future elections. And so it shows a very stark contrast for the Republican Party. Either they get closer to the 12% or they try to repair their image and get back up into the 30s that George W. Bush was able to.
Thanks. Let's give the chairman a chance to say any final remarks. We know he is got a very tight schedule and has to go, and then we can take a few questions after the chairman jumps off.
Hey, I'm sorry. Tom just had to run out, but really appreciate having the opportunity to speak on this.
Thank you. Let's see if we have any further questions.
We do have a further question. Rafael Bernal from The Hill, please go ahead.
I think my question was thanks for having this. My question was partially answered, but Cristobal, do you know what sort of seeing these numbers, like what states do you think like sort of open up as targets? Are you now talking Arizona and Florida as winnable states, or are you going so far as maybe Texas?
So that's a good question, and I'll have Matt help me along here. I'll first note that next week we're going to be releasing further information on two state oversamples, additional polling that Latino Decisions has done with us in Texas and in Florida. We'll have more information. But globally speaking, what we are seeing is this wave of enthusiasm that we think will make a difference in a number of critical 2018 elections, such that the House may be in a position to flip again if we have great Latino candidates in districts where we have a good number of voters and in places where we can continue building on the enthusiasm. So a number of states are going to be on that list. As we look towards 2020, I think it's important to note that Arizona is now a closer battleground state than, for example, Iowa or Ohio. Clearly, we had a record Latino turnout in the last presidential. It wasn't enough to carry the rest of the country with it, but that's going to continue to grow, and there will be additional states where they will make the difference in 2020.
I'll just add on to that quickly, Cristobal, Rafael, in terms of your question. I think Arizona is definitely on everyone's map now, and if it's not, it should be on your map. It tightened from 9 points to 3.5 points in one cycle. That was largely driven by very high Latino turnout and vote for the Democrat. We would expect that it will be tight again this year, even in a midterm year. And going forward to 2020, I think Arizona will certainly be considered a battleground state. Florida perennially is a battleground state, and we would expect Latinos to continue to make a huge impact there. And as Cristobal mentioned, and I think you've seen some reporting and analysis from others on this, that a lot of the Sun Belt states are really starting to become more battleground status, transitioning away from some of the Rust Belt states. And it's not surprising that these are states with very large Latino populations, and places like Virginia and Georgia are also very competitive battleground states. So we know that it's not just the same old states every year, and that Latinos have a lot to do with that as our numbers are growing everywhere. But there are some new places on the map, and we're going to be paying very close attention to them.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll go next to the line of Juan Esperanza with Vida Newspaper.
Yes, this question is for Matt, I believe. Dr. Mindy Romero from UC Davis did a study of the voter turnout in the presidential race last year, and she said that Latino voters did not turn out in as greater percentages or in greater numbers than they did in the previous presidential race. And she believes that it was probably because the Democratic Party did not do enough to reach out to them. Have you seen any studies or polling that sort of also confirm her findings?
This is, so I'll go first and turn it over to Matt. So, coming out of the election, there was reporting that we thought was inaccurate around how Latinos voted and the numbers of Latinos who voted, and there were a number of other studies that have come out since then, much of them relying on self-reported data. And I don't mean to criticize any report or any of that data, but what we decided to do is invest significant resources with a very high-end, probably the best analytics firm in the country, to actually look at the voter file itself, and not asking folks, how did you vote and when did you vote and who did you vote for, but actually looking at the actual voter file. And what we found was, contrary to the report that the Latino vote remained static, what we saw was a pretty dramatic increase from 52 to 56% nationally. That's a big jump. And the most incredible data from that, though, isn't necessarily the fact that more Latinos than ever before had voted, but that there was such a high percentage of them that were first-time voters. In some battleground states, places like Georgia, 44% of the Latino vote was first-time voter.
And in fact, if you look at any of the battleground states, the Latino vote, first-time voter was approaching those record high numbers. And so that gives us great hope because not only did more Latinos ever turn out, but what we saw was a significant percentage of those were first-time voters, and those are the ones that represent the future of our democracy. Matt, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I don't have too much to add because Cristobal is now a part-time political scientist. I mean, that was excellent analysis there, Cristobal. This is, if you look at the voter file itself, you will find higher rates of voting by Latinos in 2016 among registered voters than in previous years. I believe part of Mindy's analysis also indicates that, you know, there continues to be a gap in registration. And that is also something that we have all talked about, that we do need to do more on registration, that candidates, campaigns, issue groups, everyone needs to do more on Latino registration. So, but the turnout rate is going up. We saw that across the board as well as in key states. And when you look at the voter file itself, at the hard data on the voter file, you'll see higher participation rates in 2016 than in any other year. But we have more eligible voters coming into the electorate because of young people turning 18, and we need to do more outreach there, and a lot of groups are starting to focus on that. But as we convert those eligible citizens into registered voters, the voter turnout rate of registered voters is growing, and of course, we expect that to continue.
I think we have time for one more question.
Thank you. We'll go last to the line of Christine Madu from Los Angeles Times.
Hi there. Thanks for having this call. I appreciate it. I'm wondering, given that California has 7 to 9 Republicans that the DCCC is targeting in the 2018 elections, and given that, you know, California has a large Latino population, particularly in Southern California, where a lot of these seats are, Cristobal, are you guys planning anything in particular that focuses on California? Kind of as ground zero for 2018, and, you know, especially given that the same kind of trends of Latinos not turning out in the same numbers in midterms has existed here for a long time.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one that we are studying very carefully. We are really ramping up our work in California, increasing the number, particularly in terms of our board members, increasing our presence, not just in Los Angeles, but of the Northern California and in other places as well, all in preparation for what will be a very strong push in California to elect a record number of Latinos to Congress. Without giving too much detail, we will have at least 4, if not 5, districts that we focus significant time and resources on for the purpose of electing Latinos and those that best reflect our values. I'll also just add one last piece, which is the congressional race I referenced earlier, which was the first congressional special election in the Trump era. We studied very carefully what that race looked like and the messaging that did or did not work by testing a few things in that race. And we were very pleased that the voters sent Jimmy Gomez, the strong progressive Latino, to Congress to fill Attorney General Javier Becerra's seat. And there's a lot of lessons learned there that can be applied in other districts nearby. Matt, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are a number of opportunities, not just in California, but in the West as a whole, for Latinos to play an important role in the congressional midterms. And I expect that, as we heard from Chairman Perez earlier, that the Democratic Party is putting effort into that, that the Latino vote is growing. And you're going to see a number of these, as I said, not just in California, but in Arizona, in Nevada, in Texas, in Colorado. There are a number of seats that are between 15% and 30% Latino. And the Latino turnout and Latino engagement is going to make the difference in a number of congressional seats this year. And when we look back, if the Democrats do eclipse the margin to take the House, a careful analysis will probably show that it is many of these Democratic Latino-heavy seats that made the difference. And so we'll be continuing to watch that and see what happens with voter engagement and voter turnout.
Let me thank you, Matt, and especially let me thank everyone on the phone call today and my vice president here, Jorge Silva,
and the chairman. We thank you all for your time today and look forward to speaking further.